Austin, Texas, it's David Knight.
Well, it's April the 4th, 2018, 50 years after Martin Luther King was assassinated. At least one level, it's a personal tragedy for his family. They talked about that tragedy. And I think it offers us some important lessons as we look at where people are in this country today. You know, when Martin Luther King talked, he talked in the rhetoric of the church that he grew up in. And I think it's important for us to see as we look today, there is a church in D.C. that denounces prayer. They support March for Our Lives, but say, we don't want to hear any more of your thoughts and prayers. Shut up with the thoughts and prayers. Says a church, a sign on a church. Can you believe that? Can you believe that a church doesn't have any confidence in the power of prayer? They just sort of fold up their doors. There's a Congregational United Church of Christ in D.C. All of their faith is in government. They see government as God. And quite frankly, government sees itself as God as well. Omniscient, knowing everything about you. Remember how one of the most prominent cases for the longest time of out-of-control government surveillance was against Dr. Martin Luther King by J. Edgar Hoover. And so they now know everything about you. They're proud of it. They're not unashamed of it. They were ashamed of it when they did it to Martin Luther King. Tried to cover it up, tried to pretend it didn't happen, tried to talk back on it. But they're no longer ashamed of that. We have shown you in many ways how they observe everything that you do. And they have absolutely no shame in it. And so we look at how they are omniscient. They are omnipresent in every aspect of our life. We can't even watch late night comedy anymore, like the Johnny Carson show used to be, without being hammered by politics and government. Can't escape it. But it's also not that. It's not just that it's entered the public conversation, permeated everything that we talk about. It's also that it has interjected itself into every aspect of our lives, just as you see David Hogg and the other people say, well, we have to have government do this and government do that. Even the conservatives say, we have to have President Trump in Washington protect our kids in school. No, you don't. No, you don't, in spite of the fact that Joe Biden and George Bush the First put through the Gun-Free School Zone Act in 1990. You had people more than 10 years ago in Texas and other places said, well, we have a sheriff. We have the right and the authority and the power and the ability and the will to protect our own children. And we'll do it whether the federal government agrees with it or not. The same attitude we're starting to see now with people saying, we know that there are benefits from medical marijuana. We've had referendums on this. We've had our legislatures say that we can do this. And we're not going to let Jeff Sessions lecture us from a UN pulpit, because that's what he's doing, folks. The war on drugs is a UN war on drugs. It's a UN agenda. And so I think it is important that we take back our lives. And I think that it's important that we look at some of the things that Martin Luther King did. We're also going to take a look at the caravan. I can't tell you how happy I am to see President Trump now saying that we have a military responsibility. I've been saying this for a very long time, and I'm glad that he's finally saying it. Not that he's listening to me. I think he listened to some other talk show hosts who finally started saying it to him and said, look, you ran on this. It's essential that you do this. Pat Buchanan is saying he's going to be judged by three things. We'll talk about that coming up. And he's doing the right thing on all of those three important issues that were core to what he ran on. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the YouTube shooting. We'll talk about Facebook. We'll talk about the push against guns and how David Hogg can add a new feather to his hat. Congratulations, David Hogg. You have now become the world's biggest gun salesman, surpassing even Barack Obama. You should be proud of yourself. You've done a great job, young man. Now go back to school and learn something. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's your host, David Knight.
Welcome on this 4th of April, 2018, 50 years after Dr. Martin Luther King was killed, assassinated. I was talking about that a little bit at the top of the hour. And as I said, it was a tragedy for his family half a century ago. His youngest child, Bernice King, called her older brother, Martin Luther King III, to join her on the pulpit. She said, it's important to see the two of the children who lost their daddy 50 years ago in with an assassin's bullet. And certainly, that is always the personal aspect of the tragedy. And we should never forget that personal aspect of it. But I think it's also important when we look at Martin Luther King to understand that he is not a perfect man. He was not a perfect man. Yeah, everybody likes to do hagiographies. That's an autobiography where you put the person out there as some kind of a saint, holy man, who has no faults. There is no such person. All the stuff about George Washington never telling a lie, the cherry tree stuff, and everything. These are mythologies that we create around people, and they don't serve us very well. I think we should talk about real people and their real problems and their real struggles. Look, Martin Luther King is well known because of the surveillance and other things that J. Edgar Hoover's done. It was well known that he was engaged in multiple adulterous affairs, that he committed plagiarism to get his PhD and so forth. Does that discredit what he did? See, the people who want to tear down the monuments that built this country, whether it's Christopher Columbus or whether it is some Confederate general who was leading his people to fight for their liberty as they saw it, or Thomas Jefferson, or Ulysses Grant, who was on the other side of the Civil War, whatever, they continue to tear down every monument to every person because they disagree with a policy or because they can find something that was wrong or immoral in their life. And I just want to say to all the people out there, a lot of the people who are demanding that we tear down all the monuments and statues to our civilization are many people who would respect Dr. Martin Luther King. And they need to understand that he had his faults as well as Jefferson. And what we do is we look at the positive and the important positive contributions that were made by these individuals. And we lift those up because every single one of us has things in our lives that would make us objects of scorn if it were known. Every single person. There is not a perfect person on this planet. So let's stop the Marxist purges that are going on out there. You know, talk about policies. Dr. Martin Luther King promoted many socialist policies. It doesn't change the positive effect that he had in ending racism at an institutional level and in bringing people's hearts together and in speaking to them at a gut level. We should hold those things up and understand, yes, he had these things over here that were not perfect, things, policies that I don't agree with. Maybe you agree with those policies, fine. But he was a Christian minister who committed adultery. And, you know, that is something that is doesn't take away from what he did in a positive way and the many important positive things he did. Let me just read you one quote, a couple of quotes here. He said, from a letter in jail, he said, we know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Absolutely. Absolutely right. And that is a quote that echoes the founding fathers of this country. And it is in the spirit of America. It is in the understanding of the nature of men with power that they will never give it up. Freedom is never given. It is only taken. Another one. He said, communism forgets that life is individual. Capitalism forgets that life is social. And the kingdom of brotherhood is found neither in the thesis of communism nor in the antithesis of capitalism, but in a higher synthesis that combines truths. And so I think he had many important things to offer us about the nature of mankind, about the nature of government, but also about the nature of brotherhood. And so as we look at the people who have made important contributions in our history, whether they are white, black, European, whatever, let's elevate the better aspects of their lives and celebrate those better aspects of their lives and aspire to those better aspects of their lives, rather than going through everyone's life with a fine-tooth comb and trying to find fault with them so we can tear them down into the dust, bring them down to our level so we feel better about ourselves. Isn't that really what this is all about? That's on the personal level, that's what it's about. On a geopolitical level, it is about destroying the foundations and the values of Western civilization, which Dr. Martin Luther King echoed. He's very much a part of Western civilization. And instead of taking these things down, we need to take the best of the best men and celebrate that, not try to take the worst of our best men and destroy our society. Along those lines, I reported the other day about how our society is being destroyed. How they're coming after everything that characterizes our society, whether it is our culture, our religion, anything that holds us together. And a good example of this was found in the Breitbart article talking about the Jesuit college, the Holy Cross, and a professor there, Tat Siong Benny Lu, had a description of Jesus washing his apostles' feet at the Last Supper. He said that was literary striptease, and he suggested that Jesus experienced his suffering on the cross as a masochistic sexual encounter with God the Father. Can you believe that? This is a New Testament professor at a Jesuit university. And he was defended when he was criticized by that. He was defended by the president of the college, Jesuit Philip Burroughs, rushed to his defense and said, oh, he has academic freedom to push boundaries, quote unquote. That was his, to push boundaries. And he says the professor is a man of faith. Well, the question is, what faith? It's not the Christian faith. I don't know what religion he is. I don't know what religion these Jesuits are, but they aren't Christians by any means, folks, not any at all. Even a cursory elementary reading of the Bible. Have we become so illiterate that we can accept these people as Christians? And even people who don't, whether you believe it or not, I mean, you can certainly objectively look at what they're saying and saying that has nothing to do with Christianity. Said he was an engaged scholar. So he elevates academic freedom above truth, above Christian faith. This is a Christian college. Now, another bishop has come out to put that in line, and this is as it should be. There's always going to be a struggle between truth and lies, between darkness and light. And we don't seek to censor other people. We don't seek to take away his academic freedom. We seek to expose him as a liar and as a fraud for teaching at a so-called Christian university. Change your name. Don't call it the Holy Cross. Call it the Desecrated Cross. Call your Jesuit university the Desecrated Cross, because that's really what it is. Your desecrated version of Christianity. This bishop came out, Catholic bishop, said, I'm deeply troubled and concerned to hear that someone who holds an endowed chair in New Testament studies at the College of the Holy Cross has authored such highly offensive and blasphemous notions. Such positions have no place in the biblical scholarship of a professor who teaches at a Catholic college and who, as such, should be supportive of the college's Catholic identity and mission. Just understand, Harvard was originally, as I talked about last week, they just changed their alma mater song, their lyrics that honored their Puritan ancestors, and they purged the Puritans out. Harvard was originally a seminary. Can you believe it? There's no Puritans left at Harvard. There's no Christians left at Harvard, probably. Certainly not in the faculty. And when we look at how universities have slidden, I've got some more news for you about things that are going on in universities. And the question is, why are we supporting these universities with our taxpayer dollar, with our church dollar? Here's another Catholic university, George Washington University, formerly Catholic, I guess. Maybe it still is nominally. They're having a diversity workshop 4 days after Easter to combat Christian privilege. Christian privilege. Welcome back. I've got one more thing I want to say. about the moral state of our country. And then we'll get into some economic news, what's going on with Amazon, the silicon stocks that have hit a valley. And then looked like they were going to come out of it for a moment based on a Bloomberg report yesterday. And then things escalated again with the response of President Trump to the decades-long trade war that has been conducted unilaterally against us by China and the rest of the world. Look, this is something that has now rattled the stock markets again, but they don't care if America is being deindustrialized and taken advantage of. When somebody stands up and does something about this, and I think it's kind of interesting to look at some of these tariffs that are coming back. They say, look at this. China's putting 25% tariffs on automobiles. They've had 25% tariffs on automobiles. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We said, look, we charge 2.5% on automobiles, whether they're coming in from China or they're coming in from Europe. Now, Europe charges 10%, four times as much as we do when we sell our cars into their country. China charged 25%, 10 times more than we charged for their cars coming into our country. And nothing has changed. But now the press is talking about it because they can use this narrative. Look at how horrible this is. Retaliation by the Chinese. No, it's response by President Trump after we've had president after president and the pocket of Wall Street and the globalists allow us to be sold out. That's one of the key things that President Trump ran on, and he has now taken that on. You know, the very first thing he did was get rid of the TPP. But it's this year that he has really started to take action, because the real issue is he stopped the further advance of that agenda. And now he is working to push it back. You know, you have a lot of momentum in these things. It was enough last year, I think, the very first thing he did to stop that forward momentum on globalism. But now he is working to take back what we have lost. And it's going to get bigger. There's a tit for tat that's going on. We'll talk about what's happening with that. But before we do, one more thing here. We have a man who sued the Air Force. Now, we've shown this. I remember when this came out. Let's see, what's the date on this? It came out a year or two ago. 2016, yeah, a couple of years ago. And I remember when this came out. There was an airman. His name was Oscar Rodriguez. He was forcibly dragged out of retirement ceremony because they knew that he was going to be mentioning God in a flag-folding ceremony. And these guys are, he walks up, this guy's following him and talking to him as these people are folding the flag. And this is something that he had done at ceremony after ceremony after ceremony. And then the Air Force decided, well, we're going to reject God. And we're going to eject anybody that talks about God. And so they come up and they do that. And they had already talked about how they weren't going to let him do this at a flag folding ceremony. So I want to show you this clip. It's basically, there's not much audio. You can hear a little bit of audio. As he starts to scream what he was, his prepared remarks, as they are frog marching him out, because they cannot have the name of God invoked in a retirement ceremony, even though it had been done over and over again. He's now filed suit. But here's the original video from a couple of years ago. So these guys are folding the flag, and you see he walks up there behind these other people, and a guy in khaki uniform walks up behind him and is kind of talking to him. It's like, come on, you got to go with me. Can't do this. You can't talk. And then these other people are all looking at him. They're in khaki uniforms, fatigues. They get up, three or four guys. Yeah, we're going to all take him out.
Our flag is known as the Stars and Stripes. A union consists of white stars on a blue field. The new constellation.
Look at this. They're dragging this guy out.
Represents one individual state, and together they stand united, indivisible. The stripes represent the original 13 colonies that declared their independence from Great Britain in 1776.
Good for him. You know what? He fought them off for a while, and he continued to shout as they were dragging him out. And now he has sued the Air Force for assaulting him because he was going to invoke God during a flag ceremony. That's what it's come to, folks. And just like that individual, just like Oscar Rodriguez, you are going to have to fight for your liberty, for your free speech, for your free exercise of religion. All the values that we had in America that we held dear and sacred, you're going to have to fight for those. Not let these people take those freedoms away from you. It's a fight for liberty. As I said before, we're not fighting David Hogg over our guns, not even over the Second Amendment. We are fighting him for our liberty to defend ourselves. And we're not fighting for the First Amendment. We're fighting for our liberty to speak freely and to exercise religion freely. That's really what this fight is about. You make it about liberty, not about something or about a piece of paper. Our rights, our liberties transcend any Constitution or any Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is the only part of the Constitution that I really care about. It's the only part that respects our liberty. The rest of the stuff is just administrative procedures, which have proven to be fatally flawed in many ways. Because ultimately, it relies on you enforcing it. Or George W. Bush is right. It's just a blank piece of paper. He didn't say blank piece of paper. He said profanity. It's not a blank piece of paper. There's words written on it. But just a crap piece of paper or whatever. It is, if you don't enforce it. Our freedoms mean that we do things to enforce it, just like we were talking about Martin Luther King earlier. All right, let's take a look at what's going on with the stock markets as they're getting roiled here last couple of days. We have Amazon taking a big hit, just like Facebook. Facebook's had a lot of bad press. Well, Trump has been giving Amazon a lot of bad press, and rightfully so. Again, this is not anything new. This is reported, again, a year or two ago. We were talking about the fact that the Postal Service loses $1.46 on every package that they do for Amazon. As the Washington Examiner is talking about it, so the salesman says, well, we sell below cost. And the customer says, well, how do you do that? He says, well, we buy below cost. So that's what Amazon is doing. But when I look at this, I look at it from the perspective of the post office. And there's another joke where a guy says, we're losing money on every single transaction. And the boss says, well, let's make it up in volume. And that's what the post office is doing. They're trying to tell us that they're losing $1.46 on every package. But hey, we're going to do more of this because it's Amazon. So something is going on here, folks, that really stinks. Amazon is primarily a shipping business. And you need to understand that Jeff Bezos is using the taxpayer-supported post office as his own little personal subsidy there. Until he gets his own ability to deliver the packages himself. They've been working on it. He's absolutely going to do it. He's going to deliver packages with robotic trucks and with drones and so forth. He's going to have his own delivery service. And he has the political blog that is now called the Washington Post to make sure that he can lobby Washington so that only he will be able to fly drones. You've heard this already. I mean, look at the FCC. I'm sorry, the FAA. They're saying everybody's got to register. We can't just have everybody flying drones. It would be absolute chaos. We're only going to have responsible people who have big political blogs like the Washington Post who will be allowed to fly packages around with drones. And once that happens, he's going to boot the U.S. Post Office out. It'll go bankrupt, and it'll all be on the U.S. taxpayer. We'll be right back.
In a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
All right, let's take a look at what's happening with the so-called trade war between China and President Trump. As I said, this is something that has been going on for decades. Nobody seemed to care or notice until we started doing something about it. And as I was talking about Amazon, Trump four times in a week bashed Amazon, and then about 2:45 yesterday, 2:45 p.m., there was a Bloomberg headline saying that Trump is not formally looking at options to address his concerns with Amazon, and that unleashed, as Zero Hedge points out, a buying panic, first in Amazon and then across a broader market. So everybody starts buying because they've been selling all week. And we took off the second quarter start. It's the worst since the Great Depression, as many people had reported. So all of a sudden, things started turning around. And then more things changed with the adjustment of the trade imbalance is the way I like to talk about it. It's not a trade war, not yet, but it's escalating in that direction. The Trump administration announced 25% tariffs on $50 billion worth of annual imports from China. covering about 1,300 industrial technology, transport, and medical products. Then China responded within 11 hours with penalties on $50 billion of U.S. goods, ranging from soybeans, cars, and chemicals to whiskey, cigars, and tobacco. And as they're coming out and talking about this, China says the World Trade Organization, the WTO, is in unprecedented danger. Who cares? I don't care. Do you care? Do you care about the World Trade Organization? Have they defended our interests for the last 40-some-odd years? Absolutely not. They have worked against us. So if the World Trade Organization is in unprecedented danger, then fine. Fine. Let's shut down this globalist system of so-called free trade, which has been managed trade, managed to our disadvantage. That's the way they manage it. As Ron Paul said a long time ago about NAFTA, he said, if you've got a free trade agreement, you don't need thousands of pages to define it. You just say, hey, we got no taxes going on here. It's like a one sentence. You don't need thousands of pages. So NAFTA is not free trade. NAFTA is managed trade. And we don't need the Koch brothers to tell us whose advantage it's working to. And so when China comes out, starts appealing to the WTO. Now, the WTO, these latest tariffs that President Trump put on were in response to intellectual property abuse. Let's just call it what it is. It's stealing other people's copyrights and patents. That has been a fundamental aspect of the way the Chinese government does business. And you're doing business with the Chinese government because they control everything in that country. And they're going to start controlling it even more tightly now that President Xi Jinping has essentially established himself as a Marxist dictator in the pattern of Chairman Mao. It is a centrally planned, centrally controlled economy. They've loosened it up, and that's been advantageous for them. But, of course, it's been advantageous for them because you've had so many multinational corporations and governments look the other way because China is their beta test site for all the different types of controls that they want to put on us. The Great Firewall of China. Everybody was decrying Chinese censorship a few years ago. And now our censorship that is now being enacted through their surrogates, Google, Facebook, and others, the surrogate crony censorship and control that is being done. And we'll get to that in just a moment, what's happening with Google. You know, they actually won the Prager University lawsuit. Which, on the essence of it, they said, well, it's a private organization, and they can do whatever they want. And as I've said many times, they use that model to control election cycles, to control election debates. I have seen it as I've worked with third-party and independent candidates in the past. They no longer have public debates. They put all these obstacles up for people to get on the ballot if you're third-party or independent, that they never put on the mainstream parties of the Democrats and Republicans. And then once you get on the ballot, you think you're going to be on the debate? Most places, no, not a chance. Not a chance. What they will do is they'll turn it over to an independent organization, usually run by the press, that is not interested in free speech. Not interested in political free speech or debate. So even though you go through all the procedures that the main parties don't have to go through to get on the ballot, spend all this money, collect all these signatures, pay money to get the signatures validated and so forth, you're not allowed to participate in the debate because of the press. The press organizations, that's the way it was done in North Carolina. It was a press that was censoring people who were legitimately on the ballot. And then when you would appeal to it, the courts would say, it's a private organization. They can do whatever they want. And they're doing what we want them to do. So what? So what if they're doing what we want them to do? They're our buddies. They're our friends. We scratch each other's backs. That's the way this works. But let's get back to China. This intellectual property abuse issue, folks, there's many different aspects to the China price. People have written books on it, talking about how they actively work with the company. First of all, you want to do business in those areas. You can't just go in and open up a GM factory. You have to have Chinese owners who are going to partner with you. And then as you do that, those Chinese owners will be stealing everything that you do there. And they will be building a parallel manufacturing operation. It's already been done to General Motors. Go back and take a look at the history. As they're building their plant, the Chinese are kind of slow walking it through so they can get the idea, run out, build it first, And as GM was getting ready to unveil their new little car that they had designed for the Chinese market, smaller, you know, custom design for that market because they needed smaller cars and so forth. As they were ready to roll that out about a month before they got it rolled out, guess what? There was an exact replica done by a Chinese-owned company that was going to sell for a great deal less than the GM car. And they got to market first because they stole everything from the GM people. And they also go in, as you get people who are going to be packaging your product. This is one of the most insidious aspects of what the Chinese do in their trade. They will be used as a manufacturing facility. Apple is going to start using its own Mac chips. They're going to move away from Intel. Guess where they're probably going to make them? I'm guessing they're going to make them in China. If they're smart, they won't do that. Because what they'll find is exact replicas of their Mac chips, of their phones being produced and sold at a pirated price. But the other thing that they do is they'll go in, you contract with the Chinese to make your toothpaste or to make your brake pads, for example. And then all of a sudden, you find that there's a pirated copy of it. They don't go out and just steal your copyrights and your patents and give it a new name and put it out there. No, they'll actually take the stuff, the actual labels that you have, but then they'll put garbage in it. And they did this to a brake company. Instead of putting brake material, they just put compressed paper in there. And then they sold it into the U.S. market at a discount, just a little bit less than what the real thing was. And then when people bought this stuff, thinking that it was the real thing, they had brake failures, then people started suing the company who hadn't made this pirated version of it. So it's intellectual property theft. It's the Chinese government promoting actual piracy and counterfeits. It's manipulating the currency. And it's putting on a differential rate on tariffs. Like I said before, 10 times the amount of tariffs on automobiles that we charge on the Chinese automobiles coming into our country. And then there's other aspects that we see in terms of the imbalance between us and Europe, in the sense that we put anything that is manufactured in the United States, when it is exported, it carries American taxes, American income taxes, and so forth. If it's in Europe, they take those out when the product is exported. Most of their taxes come through a value-added tax. That value-added tax is removed when those products are exported to the United States. But our products, when we export our products, they carry all the domestic taxes with them as they go out. So there's an entire infrastructure of regulations and taxes and trade agreements that have worked to our disadvantage. And now you have CNN saying, look at this, China is putting on new tariffs on things like automobiles, 25%. CNN is lying to you again. That 25% tariff on automobiles is there all along, folks. All along. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. Welcome back, and we want to welcome one of our new affiliates, WFBT, 106.7 FM in Wilmington, North Carolina, close to my old stomping ground. So welcome. We do appreciate you picking up the program, and if you're in that area, make sure that you support the people who are sponsors of WFBT, 106.7 FM in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's very important that we have the free speech that radio provides for us. It's one way to get to, especially when we look at the way that the social media mandarins and controllers are taking control of everything. We now have an oligarchy that is exerting its authority. We're going to talk about this shooting at the YouTube headquarters, but we're also going to talk about what's happening in terms of privacy and what's not happening here in America. We got the European countries are saying, hey, we're going to have some more stringent rules on Facebook and what it does with consumer data. Whereas in America, we have gone exactly in the opposite direction. There's no push for that here in America. As a matter of fact, we had the Congress pushing multiple times. Remember the two times they tried to do CISPA? Then they did ACTA, PIPA, SOPA. Then they changed the acronym to CISA. They took out the P and they finally got it through. What was that all about? Well, that was making sure that when the crony spy agencies that they have, Facebook and Google and so forth, when they spy on you and turn that information over to the government, people can't sue these organizations that have taken your data. Our entire surveillance state is built on the idea that any information that these internet providers collect on you, or any information that the telephone company gets on you, going back to the 1960s when we had regular telephones with, you know, handsets that were all wired, nothing was wireless. Even going back to that point with the PIN numbers, the Supreme Court has said, well, all that information that they have, we don't have to get a search warrant for that. We can just get it. They can just turn it over to us. And then they started getting worried about this with the Snowden leaks and so forth. They got worried that people were going to sue their surrogates, Facebook, Google, Twitter, these other social media companies. So they got very, very busy working to protect them. And even though many privacy advocates fought against that, Aaron Schwartz notably, who was either driven to suicide or killed, depending on who you believe, pushed back very effectively against that. They passed it over his dead body. He was really fighting it hard, telling people why you don't want to have that. But we have that here in America. The essence of the surveillance state is that your data doesn't belong to you, and they don't need to get a search warrant to do it. And that's why, one of the reasons why radio is so important. Radio is totally anonymous. Isn't that great? They don't know which station you're listening to. So support the radio stations that carry this program. We really do appreciate it. And what funds this program are the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. Let me tell you about some of the products that we have on special right now. 50% off CellForce, 50% off Myco ZX Plus, and 50% off of a combo package of BrainForce Plus and the Real Red Pill. That is my favorite supplement, BrainForce Plus. And let me tell you about something that is not on the sale list, but something that is very, very important. My wife has always had sinus problems, especially at pollen season, which is right now here in Austin, Texas. Back in North Carolina, when we were back there, when pollen season started, you could literally see it like a fog, the pine pollen. And it's not as visible here. I see it collecting on my car and so forth certain times, but it's still pretty prevalent. And she gets severe headaches. And nothing that she has tried, neti pots, anything, nothing gives her relief. Except, she said, well, let me try pollen block and maybe that'll work. She has tried it now on multiple occasions. She has a splitting headache. And she takes pollen block, and it goes away because it addresses the problem. It doesn't just mask the symptoms with, like, aspirin that can give you ulcers if you take it all the time, or some of these other pain pills that can work on your liver. This gets to the issue and fixes the issue. She's absolutely amazed. So I just got to tell you about that, a personal testimonial about pollen block. I have fortunately never had problems with things like that, but she has, and she has found it to be the most effective thing she's ever tried. And for many years, she's tried many, many different things. So we appreciate your support. The products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com, we've got good stuff, folks. I'm telling you, we've got good stuff, and it keeps us independent and free. All right, let's take a look at some of the surveillance stuff. We have some Wisconsin police. I'm talking about surveillance, but also about the militarized police. You know, we've talked a long time about this program where they would take these MRAPs that were designed for the Iraq War, hastily designed, I might add, and very, very, very expensive to make and also to maintain. And what they would do is they would not sell, not give, but loan these to local police departments. And everybody across the country, a couple of years ago, we're all talking, scratching our heads saying, why in the world are they pre-positioning all of this heavy military equipment to really a lot of small-town police departments? And we also pointed out that this is not any property that belongs to the small-town police departments. They are required to maintain it at their expense. And so you got some Wisconsin police departments, Madison, Wisconsin. They say they're returning their MRAPs that are on loan from the Defense Department. These MRAPs are mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicles. And one of the police chiefs there in Wisconsin said, I heard from citizens that they didn't view it as an appropriate piece of equipment for the police department. They thought we were overdoing things. You think so? Yeah, I think so. I think that's like major overkill. And it gives a lot of us worries about why they are accumulating and stockpiling this kind of stuff. What are they prepping for? So he said it was a community perception combined with, guess what, the maintenance issues that said, hey, we don't want this anymore. It's the essence of a white elephant. You know where that expression comes from, right? In India, of course, elephants were sacred, and you couldn't do anything about them. I guess it was maybe the white elephants or whatever. So if the king wanted to punish somebody, he would give them a white elephant that they could that they were forced to maintain, like these MRAPs. If you didn't take care of that elephant that the Raj gave you, you were in big trouble. You might get killed. And so the same thing with these people. It was the essence of a white elephant, but also something that concerned many of us. Why do you need to have that? Why do you need to have all these cell phone spying devices that we're now seeing talked about in the District of Columbia? This is a letter that was sent to Senator Ron Wyden. And hats off to Ron Wyden. As I said, I don't really agree with Ron Wyden on anything except his concerns about government surveillance of citizens. He was the one who got James the Liar Clapper to lie. And he, of course, Clapper just passed his 5-year anniversary statute of limitations. So evidently, you know, nobody can touch him now for lying under oath about spying on the American people. But it was Ron Wyden who got him to do that. And so Ron Wyden was writing the Department of Homeland Security. And he said, you know, there's all these suspect unauthorized cell site stimulators throughout the nation's capital. What's going on with this? And then he got a response from Homeland Security, and he turned it over to the Associated Press. And what Homeland Security was saying was, well, we haven't really done anything about that. And we don't really know who's putting these things out. We know nothing. It's like, seriously? Seriously? We know they're lying to us to say they don't know anything about it. If they're not lying, they're unbelievably incompetent and disinterested in what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, is it the Russians? Oh, we don't know. We don't care. You would think they'd be concerned about this. These are devices, and they've been popularly known as the Stingray devices. We've talked a lot about Stingray in the past. That was something that was done by the FBI. And the FBI would use that to get information on people without having a search warrant. And then they would use parallel construction to hint to somebody, you know, you might want to look over there at something that this guy's got. How did you get that in? Well, don't ask how we got that information. We'll just tell you, you might want to look over there. Which corrupted their investigation. And it was exposed at one point in time where a police department came after a guy. He was a common thief. And at trial, his defense attorney said, where did you get this information about him? Oh, well, we can't reveal that. And they said, well, we think that you obtained that by illegal surveillance. And they said to the judge, we can't reveal that. We have a non-disclosure agreement that we have signed with the provider of said equipment. And the judge said, you don't have any NDA with me. You don't have any non-disclosure agreement with me. You're going to tell me how you got that information or this case is finished. And they said, okay, case is finished. They wouldn't give it up. But subsequently, we found out that the FBI was putting Stingray devices all over the place. They track mobile devices. They make them think that it's a cell phone tower. They cost anywhere from $1,000 to $200,000. They could be as large as a briefcase or as small as a cell phone unit. And Homeland Security doesn't care. Doesn't care. Isn't that interesting? With all this paranoia and investigations going on about Ruskies under every rock, and they are manipulating us and doing all these things, and they don't care who's doing it. They know who's doing it. What they don't care about is the Bill of Rights and the oath of the Constitution they took.
Waging information warfare against pushers of fake news. You're listening to Real News with David Knight.
You know, I was talking about how these police departments in Wisconsin were saying, the public is not very happy about this. Well, it took them a long time to find out the public wasn't very happy about it. I think what they really found out was the extraordinary maintenance costs of these white elephants. But there's one other aspect of this that I wanted to talk about. I forgot to mention in the last segment. And that was, as we were all scratching our heads and saying, what are they up to? And, you know, quite frankly, folks, that is not the question of a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory idiot? That's the question of an informed citizenry. What is my government up to? Government's always going to be up to something. Is it up to good or no good? That's the question. You should be interested. You should be asking questions. You should be questioning what they tell you. Is this true or not? You know, they don't become angels because they get appointed to government. And they're not heroes because they're simply because they're wearing a uniform. They can be good guys. They can be heroes. But just being in a position of authority typically turns people in the other direction. That's what the founders of this country understood. So when we were looking at the MRAPs originally, something happened at exactly that same time that was very curious. There had been a program in existence since the end of World War II that would supply excess military equipment, not the heavily fortified, mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicles, but very heavy military equipment that was surplus, had been given to rural fire departments that would be useful for them to help them fight fires. To get through heavily wooded areas and so forth, because the rural fire departments were typically on the edge of vast swaths of land, many of them pieces of land that were managed by the federal government, or maybe mismanaged by the federal government, that would have large fires because of the mismanagement of the federal government, not removing dead wood and so forth. But the people who were called on to respond to this were typically small rural communities and their volunteer fire departments who don't have a lot of money. And so it was recognized at the end of World War II, when our government wasn't hell-bent on creating some kind of a world domination surveillance program on everybody, it was recognized that the federal government could take surplus equipment as it passed out of military use. As they got better, more efficient equipment, they could take the older stuff and give it to the rural fire departments. And it was a key thing that the rural fire departments depended on to survive. And as they were rolling out these MRAPs everywhere, over the objections of many communities even, they were ending that program. I found that to be very interesting. And what stopped it was the activism of a lot of these volunteer fire departments. These are people who are real heroes. And they really, they do a lot of hard work to protect the community. And they got together and they wrote their senators. And the senators said, "What are you doing?" And it took them about a month and a half to get this turned around, but they got the program restarted again. But I found that to be very interesting juxtaposition to the fact that they were manic about pushing out all these MRAPs. And we look at the Stingray devices that I was just talking about, and the other articles that we see from Wall Street Journal, artificial intelligence could soon enhance real-time police surveillance. Oh, is this something that is coming, or is it something that is already here? They've got Stingray devices out there that the Homeland Security people are saying, we have no idea who put this out or anything about it. Don't know anything about that. Nothing about it. And as Wall Street Journal is saying, these things could identify faces in real time. Oh, you think? They're doing that right now in China. We talked about that, how that you jaywalk in China and it immediately recognizes who you are. They got cameras everywhere. They instantly do facial recognition. They put your face up on a billboard, shame you like something out of Minority Report, and tell you you've been fined. That is China, the beta test site for this tyranny that's being rolled out here. And the Wall Street Journal is pretending that it doesn't exist. Let me tell you something. The police departments, many of these police departments have been working with the government on stuff that makes Minority Report look like chump change. It's called geospatial intelligence. Police departments at the forefront of it, not just the military. Activity-based intelligence, human domain analytics. I think that was really what was behind Jade Helm.
You found it. It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Yeah, I want to mention just a little bit more about the surveillance police state before we move on here and start to talk about Facebook and other things. And, of course, Darren McBreen is going to be joining us in the next segment. We're going to talk about what's going on at the border. The caravan. Oh, it's apparently disbanded now. A lot of people are saying, oh, it's no big deal. We weren't, the organizers, this disbanding, saying, we weren't actually ever planning to go to the border. Oh, really? That wasn't what he was telling all the embedded reporters from the liberal media. They were bragging about how they're going to go. He was bragging about how he was training people to provide the correct answers, the answers that American officials wanted at the border. Give them the, here's the answers that you need to tell. This is the way that you get in and get asylum. Oh, no, they were never planning on going to the border. And when you look at this, it provided a lot of very important optics to really put a backbone in President Trump to, I think, go after this agenda and do the right thing, which is not to wait for Mexico to do to control this, not to wait for the Democrats to do something, not to wait for the GOP leadership to do something, not to wait for the permission of politicized federal judges to allow him to do something. No, it's to use the military. The military's function, if we have a Defense Department, is to protect the borders. President Trump is doing that now, and I'm very glad it's happening. And maybe what it took was this army, this caravan, and the optics associated with it. But I want you to think about something. When you look at the 1,000 or so people that crossed, we've been told by the Border Patrol that they intercepted 310,000 people trying to get across last year. And they said it was down by 25%. It was the lowest amount that they had intercepted in 45 years. And so the question is, are fewer people crossing or are they catching fewer people? And if it's 310,000 people that they get, how many people got in? We don't know, right? Because they didn't catch them. So that was 310,000 that they caught. How many people did they not catch? Because they're not catching most of the people. That's the tiny tip of the iceberg who they're catching. So we don't know if they're getting better or worse at catching people, if there's more or fewer people crossing the border. But let me just give you this final metric here to think about. Everybody's talking about the fact that this caravan had anywhere from estimates range from 1,000 to 1,500 people. People were joining, people were dropping off as they were going along. Think about the fact that if it's 310,000 people that they apprehended coming across the border last year in one of the lowest activity issues, is according to them, ever, that is about a caravan a day that they're catching. That's not the people who get through that they don't catch. So yeah, it's a problem and something needs to be done about it. But let's talk just one last comment about this amazing, this is the AP, Associated Press, talking to Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon. And he contacted the Homeland Security Department, and they acknowledged last year that they had identified suspected unauthorized cell site simulators in the nation's capital so they could track people. And this is something that's been a concern of legislators since 2014 when the whistle was blown by a company that provides security work, electronic security work. And they haven't done anything about it for 3 years. And then they send this letter to Ron Wyden when he pushes them on the issue, and they say, we have not determined the type of devices in use or who might have been operating them, and it would not say how many they had detected or where they had detected them. That's your government protecting your safety. No, they're not protecting your safety. They're simply taking your liberty. And we have seen in the past that FBI, that's one of their favorite things to do, is to use stingrays. DHS said that they had observed, quote, anomalous activity consistent with stingrays in the Washington area. And they said that if you give them more money, they might do something about it. Typical response from a bureaucracy. Well, we think it might be a problem. We see something that looks anomalous out here. Maybe we need to have a special prosecutor to investigate the stingray devices being placed all over the Washington, D.C. area, maybe by Comey or McCabe or whatever. But they said they lack the equipment and the funding to detect these stingrays, even though their use by foreign governments, quote, may threaten U.S. national and economic security, unquote. Oh, it must be them Ruskies. No, it's not. It's not. You know, the people who hacked our election wasn't the Ruskies. It was the FBI, right? The same people putting the stingray out there, working with the NSA, the CIA, to undermine our own elections, working in concert with the Democrat National committee, Hillary Clinton, and the media that promoted them. Yeah. The usual suspects are the people who I suspect are behind this. All right. Let's quickly talk a little bit about, we're not going to have enough time to get through this in the time we have remaining. But one of the things that I think is interesting as we look at what's going on in terms of some context as well for the shooting that happened there, understanding this woman who has now come out as a, we now, as we look at this, even though people are using this shooting to attack the Second Amendment, we've already had some actor I've never heard of who has a program or a movie that I've never heard of, which is not to say that he's nobody, because I don't really focus on that much anymore. But he's already come out blaming the NRA, blaming gun owners. Yeah, there he is, this non-entity that, quite frankly, I don't really care about who he is. But this woman was a vegan nut and a hypocrite. She's out there complaining about things that are, animals are being shot. She said, yeah, the military is using pigs as a testing ground for experiments on bullet wounds and treating bullet wounds or looking at the damage inflicted by particular bullet wounds. And she has a bumper sticker, meat is murder, but she has absolutely no problem shooting people. This vegan. How many times have we seen that before? Save the baby whales. Abortion is my right. That kind of cognitive dissonance on the left has all this compassion for animals and no compassion for humans. This vegan idiot who shot the place up. She's now dead. Four people are injured. One is critically wounded. And a 36-year-old man is in critical condition. Two women, ages 32 and 30 and 27, are in serious and fair condition, respectively. But she was an angry female. She wasn't just angry about people eating meat. That was one of her core things. But she was also then became angry about YouTube censorship. She said YouTube was filtering her videos, reducing the amount of money she could make, in other words, demonetizing them, but also cutting down the number of views. And they do that to everybody that they don't like. And perhaps if she was doing some stuff that was pretty edgy with vegan activism, she might have had some stuff up there, pictures of animals that were shot or whatever, and Google would probably shut it down for that. Typically, they reserve their censorship for people that they disagree with politically or Christians or whatever. But again, it underscores the need for us to have a real free market that is free of censorship. And since they have become the de facto marketplace, the same rules that have been supported by liberals and supported by the liberal judges, saying that if an activist comes to you, homosexual activist comes to you and demands you, this small business, bake a cake for them or become a photographer in their wedding. In other words, in both instances, they're becoming intimately involved with that. They're not just saying, well, here's a product right off the shelf. No, they're actually working with these people and participating in the ceremony, and they said that that violates their religious freedom, and they choose not to do that. And they said, you can't choose to not do that. You are a business. You are operating in the public space, and as soon as you become a business, you have not even any religious freedom or any free speech. So why is it that Google and Facebook and all these surrogates of the state are not subjected to that same standard when they really do have a monopoly on free speech and they're able to shut people down? I'm not saying that what she did was justifiable. By no means was it justifiable. She was a crazy vegan idiot activist. All right, we'll be right back with Darren McBrain. Stay with us. That's right. The caravan is back in the news, and Darren McBrain is with me in studio right now. We're going to talk about the caravan. Is the caravan coming, or is the caravan disbanded? We don't know. We hear reports from Mexico that they have given up. They better give up. It's bad optics. It really has galvanized supporters for President Trump, as well as provide a situation that he has to respond to. He can't continue to say, well, it's somebody else has got to do something about this. And this, Darren, is the thing that I was hoping Trump would do, exactly what I was hoping he would do. And I've been saying it for months. He wasn't listening to me, But apparently over the Easter weekend, the optics of this and some visits from some talk show hosts from Fox and whatever were telling him, hey, your base is starting to think that you're not really going to do anything about this, and it ain't going to work for you to constantly put this off on the Democrats or Republican leadership. Or,
and Ann Coulter's been pressuring
him, too. Exactly. Ann Coulter was one of the key ones pushing him on this, saying, if you're not going, and even Rand Paul, you know, and his father, Ron Paul, years ago, was saying, why is it that we can defend everybody's borders in the world except our own borders? Let's bring the troops home and let's defend our borders. And that's what I was saying. You know, let's bring the troops home. Let's defend the borders. When Rand Paul was going through the omnibus bill, he says, here it is, 376, Patriot 76, border security. Oh, wait, that's for Jordan and Egypt and so forth.
And but nothing Syria,
for the U.S. That's right.
Exactly, Afghanistan.
So now President Trump is saying this is going to be a national security issue. He's saying we're going to put the National Guard down there. We're going to secure the border. I said yesterday that I had people who were in the Texas National Guard had told me that the governor here, Governor Abbott, was deploying troops down to the Texas border.
That's right.
Something was going to happen. And this isn't just a single isolated incident of 1,000 people. They do this as a press event every year to draw attention to this. Well, they drew attention to it this year.
And the leftist media, they always accompany them and follow them the whole way to basically chronicle their struggle.
Yeah.
They're calling it the struggle. So, and I don't think anybody we'd even be talking about this if it wasn't for Trump on Twitter as well, because mm-hmm. he really hit Twitter hard and talked about it. Now, I was surprised. I think we were all surprised yesterday, pleasantly surprised to find out that during that news conference that Donald Trump is actually, he announced that the U.S. is sending its military to the U.S.-Mexico border until we have a wall.
That's right.
Or proper security. And then he met with General Mattis after the news conference, and they're actually going to do it. So they're going to send the U.S. military out there, probably the National Guard, and we're going to run a quick news clip from yesterday at the news conference right now. Check this out.
It's like we have no border because we had Obama make changes. President Obama made changes that basically created no border. It's called catch and release. You catch them, you register them, they go into our country. We can't throw them out. And in many cases, they shouldn't be here. Many, many cases, they shouldn't be here. And after they get whatever happens over the next 2 or 3 years, they're supposed to come back to court. Almost nobody comes back to court. They're in our country. And we can't do anything about it because the laws that were created by Democrats are so pathetic and so weak. So I told Mexico, and I respect what they did, I said, look, your laws are very powerful. Your laws are very strong. We have very bad laws for our border. And we are going to be doing some things. I've been speaking with General Mattis. We're going to be doing things militarily. Until we can have a wall and proper security, we're going to be guarding our border with the military. That's a big step.
Yeah, that is a big step.
Big step indeed. I think it's the right thing to do. I think it sends a strong message to the government of Mexico. Mm-hmm. And do you know what they call a welfare program in Mexico?
What's that?
America. The border's that way. The border's that right. way. So, I mean, they are using us, the United States, as their welfare system.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what's
and
going on.
And to educate their children. They yep. send them here so that we pay for their education. That's what's going on with the Dreamers. And that's why it got me so upset to hear President Trump and others saying, we got to do something for the DACA people and so forth. And the Koch brothers are still saying that. They're still saying, this is a grave injustice for President Trump to tweet, all right, I'm done with the DACA stuff. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to take care of Americans. Oh, that's a grave injustice, said the Koch brothers. The same people are telling us that we have to have this trade system that we currently have because free trade is going to make us all rich. And it's like, we've seen how that's worked out for the last several decades. And we've seen how your open borders have worked out for the last decade. So I think it's very important. You know, Pat Buchanan said President Trump is going to be remembered for three things. He said things that made him unique. He said Trump alone pledged to kill amnesty and secure the border.
Mm-hmm.
Trump alone pledged to end the deindustrialization of America. And Trump alone pledged to end the democracy crusading and extricate us from the endless Mideast wars. And we have seen him moving on all three of these things right now.
That's right good. Now. I mean, when he first announced that he was running for president, that's the first thing he said. And that was Mexico. They're not sending over their best.
Mm-hmm,
and they're sending their criminals. And it, for non-U.S. citizens are much, much more likely to commit crimes and to get thrown in jail, to be convicted than natural born U.S. citizens. That's
right. Even though the dreamers, the so-called dreamers, and there is no such thing because they never pass an act, but the younger groups of illegal immigrants, mm-hmm. younger people of every demographic create crimes at a higher rate. But when you look at, demographic to demographic, the dreamers are committing it at twice the rate of other groups. Mm-hmm. And a large part of this is because of MS-13, talking about not sending us their best people. Well, there's good people that are coming across, good people trying to escape MS-13 in El Salvador. Sure. They go all the way up to New York, Long Island, and MS-13 follows them up there and kills their kids.
But when does it end? Because the United States, we take in more refugees than the entire world combined.
That's right.
And we take more than a half of the world's refugees. So when is enough? I mean, do we have wide open borders? And of course, that would mean the total destruction of our country. So it's got to end somewhere.
Well, it's a combination of open borders and a welfare state. Because, Absolutely. We did, in the early days of the Republic, mm-hmm. we did have open borders. Anybody mm-hmm. could come in. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to get vetted by the government, but you didn't have a safety net there. And we know that the combination of a welfare state and open borders that you don't have any control over the number of people that come in, that is going to destroy the country. Cloward and Piven talked about it as a tactic to destroy the country.
That's right. And the government of Mexico, I'll even go as far as saying they're acting like a hostile foreign power right now. Because do you know that they sent out 1.5 million pamphlets to their own citizens? And these pamphlets, it basically described how to remain in the United States undetected. Mm-hmm. And that came mm-hmm. complete with what clothes to wear, with the best cities to go to, where you can find people that will help you remain undetected. Meanwhile, the Mexican foreign minister says that if our president, Donald Trump, builds a wall, Mexico will consider that a hostile act. And he went on to say that he demands that we give all Mexican citizens in the United States illegally, that we grant them legal status. That's his demand.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you heard.
That was the demand of the caravan as well.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they had their demands too.
We're just as much American citizens as you are.
As you are. Exactly.
I don't think so.
No, exactly. Give us free food. Give us your money. Send us to college. Give us free medical. Give us daycare. And the Democrats want our vote is basically what's going on. Vicente Fox, former president of the United States, he also said that he considers Donald Trump the number one enemy to Mexico. Public enemy number one is our president, Donald Trump. So that's what we're looking at. No, Mexico's the hostile foreign power.
And you're talking about them sending out letters and everything. You've seen the signs, I'm sure, here in Austin when President Trump said we're going to end DACA. You had the Mexican consulate, like they did in every state in the union, putting up signs. We can help you stay in this country. Telling them they were going to help them to evade our laws. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight with Darren McBreen.
And now, covering the ongoing fight for the heart and soul of America, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, it's David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight with Darren McBreen. We're taking a look at what's going on with the caravan, and especially with the borders. And as I pointed out, there's key issues that President Trump was elected on. The key one was to put America first, was to protect our borders. And now I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the court system, because the court system has been the key device that the left, that the Democrats, that the liberals have used to stop any action. As President Trump was talking about, Darren, he said, once these people get in, it's a convoluted process, thanks to Obama and his court system and so forth. They just have to come in and say the right magic incantations, and now they're in a court system, and that's what they've been using. I think the key thing now with him going to the border with the military is to make sure these people don't get into our court system by not getting into our country. Stop them from, that's the thing, that's the way you short circuit this thing. But of course, they're going to fight him on that as
soon as, they are.
When Ann Coulter picked this up, and a lot of people have criticized Ann Coulter for criticizing the president, but she was basically saying, this is what you ran on, this is what you have to do in order to win again, and this is something that you have to do for the existence of America to continue. A lot of people criticized her for that. I think that's the right thing to do, to back up a politician when they're getting wobbly on something or if they're taking too long to do something. And he started paying attention. And when he started tweeting out, yeah, I think I might use the military to do this. I think I could. And he started talking to people privately. Well, Chuck Schumer started talking to the press then and said, we're not going to let him do that. He can't pull money out of the military budget, and we're going to tie him up in the courts, which is what they've done everywhere. When you look at what's going on in California with sanctuary cities.
That's right. We can't. What it comes down to is we can't have a country without borders. We have a responsibility to protect our country. And I know that usually we don't have a lot of good news coming out of California, but I really like what's going on in Orange County right now. The Orange County Sheriff's Department and the they're basically providing the release dates of inmates to ICE agents, and they're also the city of Orange County is. They're going along and joining the Trump administration in a federal lawsuit against sanctuary cities.
Wait a minute. Something just occurred to me. When they're releasing the names of these illegal immigrants that they've got there, putting mm-hmm. them out public. So are they doxing the undocumented?
Well, and this what the crazy thing is, according to California sanctuary laws, they consider this racial profiling. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. So these aren't guys that are locked up for being there illegally. No, they have a catch and release program in California. What this is, these are guys who committed sometimes very, very serious crimes. Mm-hmm. And they're also drug traffickers, you name it. Very bad people. So all Orange County Sheriff's Department wants to do is to say, hey, look, here are the release dates. And that way ICE will be there when they get out and deport them immediately. There's nothing wrong with that. And I want
to. There's a lot of power at the local sheriff's office to do a lot of things.
There is, but check this out. The California Attorney General is threatening to sue and even arrest the Orange County Sheriff for not cooperating with their sanctuary city laws. So she's simply trying to protect the community. And I want to show another clip. This is from the Tucker Carlson show last night. This is Orange County Sheriff Sandra Hutchins, and she's basically talking about what she's up against in Mexifornia.
It's a public safety issue to me. It's not about immigration at all.
Right.
It's about individuals who have committed violent crimes. And let me just give you some examples of some individuals we've had to release. How about sex with a minor, child cruelty, domestic violence? I mean, I don't think I could sleep at night knowing that I had let somebody go and they go out and commit another crime with those kinds of charges. As a sheriff of Orange County, I feel responsible for the public safety of the citizens of our county.
I'm into that. And that's a tough lady right there. And that
well, she's exactly the opposite of the sheriff that we got here and or the police chief we got here in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she was the Austin sheriff, Travis County. Anyway,
right.
She was the one who was fighting all this stuff. And remember, she came out with just three crimes. I'm not going to report anybody except for these three crimes. And somebody said, well, you just let go some people who were the same things that she was just talking about. Individuals who had committed sex crimes against minors
yep.
or had abused women or whatever. That wasn't on her list of people she was going to turn in.
Well, that's how insane this has become, and it's not just California, it's everywhere. But speaking of Orange County, this hits close to home for me because most of my family is from Orange County. I was born there. I spent much of my adult life in Southern California. And my mom was even among the very first women who ever joined the Orange County Sheriff's Department. In fact, do you guys have that picture of her? I found a picture of her in the Orange County Sheriff's Department Museum.
Oh, that's cool.
Scroll down. A little further, right there. She's right there somewhere in the middle right there. There she is.
Wearing skirts.
That's right.
Have the policewoman wearing skirts.
So, you know,
shooting guns.
It just occurred to me that I'm so old that there's pictures of my mom in a museum. But she would be very proud of what the sheriff is doing out there because this is simply about protecting the community. I don't see anything wrong with it. And this is what they're up against, though, because they're really at a crossroads right now. It's state law versus federal mm-hmm, law, mm-hmm. and this should be interesting to see what happens next.
And it's exactly like I said, the mm-hmm. polar opposite of what the sheriff here did. Mm-hmm. And because she was saying, I'm not going to protect the public safety, that's what that lady there was saying, is that this is a public safety issue. This
Absolutely.
Isn't an immigration
Absolutely.
Issue, it's a public safety issue. We're not going to let criminals loose in the population. And so when this sheriff here in Travis County said just the opposite, you had the governor and others here in Texas say, well, we'll arrest you for endangering the public for letting criminals out.
That's right.
And that's the way it ought to be.
Now, this is how crazy and how ridiculous sanctuary laws are in California right now. Let's say that the sheriff's department has information. They've doing their investigations, and they have an, information that, let's say, an illegal alien has just joined a street gang. Let's say they have information that somebody just joined MS-13. According to California law, the sheriff's department is not allowed to share that information with federal authorities because it is racial profiling. Now, that's what I call BS.
Well, you know, that echoes and puts into code something that they started doing as soon as President Trump was elected. He wasn't even in office yet. He had won the election, and they were concerned about it. He had a lot of different jurisdictions in California, and they had lists of gang members.
Okay.
And they said, we've got to purge these lists because President Trump's going to get them and deport them.
Yeah.
And so they're already working on that. So now they've actually put it into state law to codify the protection of gang members because they're already working on that as soon as President Trump got elected.
Don't you think if, let's say, that the majority of illegal immigrants were allowed to vote, if they voted Republican, I think that that wall would have been built a long time ago. Probably in Obama's first term, he would have built a great, big, beautiful wall to keep them out if they voted Republican. I think it's all about the votes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, the Democrats want them for the votes. And like I was talking about the Koch brothers, that they're, as soon as President Trump said, all right, that's it, we're not going to play this DACA game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Koch brother-funded groups, one of them is Libra Initiative, said that they're extremely disappointed with Trump's comments on Easter Sunday, where he said no more to a deal giving amnesty to about 1.8 million illegal aliens. They said that this just isn't, we can't have this. This is a grave injustice. And so you have the people like the Koch brothers, you know, the Democrats want the voters, but big business like the Koch brothers and the open border globalists, they want the cheap labor. And so that's why we've had people like Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan working with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to keep the borders open, to make sure we don't have anything enforced. That's why I said the president is going to have to take executive action, and he can legally do it because it's about the defense of the country. If you can't defend the borders, then why don't we just call it the Department of War like we used to, or just call it the Department of Empire or regime change? Because that's all we're doing. We're using this massive military not to defend our country anymore on the most basic level that they could do it. We're just using it for aggressive wars abroad.
Yeah, cheap labor. Democrats in 1863, they used to say, without slaves, who's going to pick our crops? Now in 2018, without illegal migrants, who's going to pick our crops? Right?
Oh, boy, that's a good analogy. That's exactly what's going on. Yeah, they don't really care about you as an individual. They care about how they can use individuals. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight with Darren McBrain. Stay with us.
Shower this morning. Amazing coincidence.
So are the people in the caravan, except we're not sure if they're still walking this way or not. They may be walking somewhere else. I'm David Knight here in the studio with Darren McBrain, another one of our InfoWars reporters, but especially, I guess, our premier graphics and editor, the guy you see, most of his work that you see is in the interstitials and the special reports that we do. Darren is a genius at that stuff. And we want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the courts. And, of course, this back and forth between federal courts and state courts. Who's right in this? You know, we have this issue come up over marijuana, and now we have this issue coming up over borders, and now California, which is, for the most part, except for places like Orange County, where they have to fight the crazy state government under Jerry Brown. But for the most part, California is on a completely different page than the rest of the United States. So when it comes to immigration, or when it comes even to the EPA, fuel economy regulation, we had another fight brewing there. So, where do you draw the lines on jurisdiction? And what should the powers of these federal judges be? Should there be any limitations on that? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But before we do, real quickly, I want to tell you about some of the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because that's what supports this program and everything that we do here. We have some big specials, some big discounts. We have CellForce, 50% off. We have $50 off Alexa Pure Breeze. This time of year with a lot of pollen, it's great to have something that's going to keep your air fresh in your home, but especially in your home where you lock things up. As I pointed out a couple of days ago, there's an article from the UK. Some people said, look at this. Every meal you've got on average about 114 plastic particles, because this is getting into the dust coming off of fabric and other things in your home. There's so much plastic in the home, it's getting mixed together there with the dust, and you're eating that stuff. It's like, well, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that's in the dust that you don't want, as well as odors. This is a great way to take it out. It's an attractive unit. It's a silent unit. It shows you when it's working with a very discreet little line that looks like a wave on the front of it. Shows you how intense the stuff that it's working on, and it'll actually speed up in different modes to take it out more quickly. So it's a very effective unit. We have them all over the office here. I have one at home, and we are very pleased with it. You can get $50 off Alexa Pure Breeze. We also have a combo pack of Brain Force Plus and the Real Red Pill. You can get those two together for 50% off. And Brain Force Plus, I can tell you, is my favorite supplement we have at the store. Finally, Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle, a new addition to the Super Blue line. And all those products contain nano silver, a very effective way to fight against bacteria and viruses.
Nano.
That's right. Nano. That's more chipping in there. 30% off as part of the introductory price. You can use it orally, or you can use it even on your hands to clean your hands of bacteria and virus. So take a look at the products we have at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what keeps us independent. It's what keeps our news free. It's what keeps these programs on the air. Well, you know, as we're looking at this, Darren, as I said, we've got these different legal challenges out there. Chuck Schumer immediately said, we're going to challenge Trump. And I think this is going to be yet another challenge. I think they're going to say, you can't put the military down there at the border, even though Obama did it.
Bush did it, Clinton did it. No, exactly.
But they're going to push back against that if President Trump does more than just a show.
They have a very short memory, so they're not going to remember any of that.
That's right. So they're going to push against that. But there already is a struggle going on between California. The state of California says, we're going to have a sanctuary state. And the Justice Department says, no, you're not. So who is right in this, according to your opinion?
Who is right? You know, we always go with state rights. But in this case, there's nothing wrong.
Well, I have to say state powers.
Exactly. It's a different way to look at it. So there's nothing wrong with law enforcement agencies cooperating with federal agencies. All they're trying to do is to deport criminals. Mm-hmm. You know, and we were talking on the break, if you guys wouldn't mind pulling this up right here. This is from the Orange County Weekly, and this just proves that they are victims of hit pieces just like we are. Oh, right? Yeah. If you go against the left, they will attack you. But just listen to the headline.
In a conservative area like Orange County.
And Orange County is a very conservative area.
On the left-wing rag.
But they got a picture of her. Sheriff Sandra Hutchins feeds Orange County's anti-immigrant frenzy with latest stunt. And then they say Orange County is riding a wave of anti-immigration hysteria that's putting its know-nothings back in the national spotlight. This woman is trying to protect her community.
That's right.
So this is just another hit piece. You're talking about conservatives in Orange County, and I told you that's where my family is from. My son and I went back to Southern California a couple years ago. And he said he could not believe he was in Southern California because there was Trump T-shirts and Trump supporters everywhere.
That's right.
More than he had ever seen in Texas.
Well, we talk about the fact that in one of the first programs that I had with this program, I had some people from the left who wanted to secede from the United States. Trump is not our president.
Yeah.
You're not our country. And it's like, fine, bye-bye. How can I help you? Please, let me get you on the program.
We're here to help.
Yeah. And then we had a lot of people contact us, and obviously so. I mean, you got the Free State of Jefferson up in Northern California. You got conservative areas in Orange County and San Diego and other places like that. And they said, wait a minute. We don't want to go with these people and leave the United States. And I said, well, that's fine. You secede from them, you know, just like Virginia and West Virginia. When Virginia left the Union, West Virginia left Virginia. Said, no, we want to stay in the Union. You know, so you see those types of things happening.
But they still voted Democrat in California. But I think that's because most people in California are immune to the Russians' propaganda.
We'll see. When we look at this and we look at the other issue in terms of like medical marijuana or even legalization of marijuana, I think the important thing is that we look at the Ninth and Tenth Amendment. The way I see it is that there are certain things, in general, the states are not administrative slaves of the federal government. When you're talking about, we generally go with state powers.
Absolutely.
The federal government, it's made clear in the Ninth and Tenth Amendment, they have specific delegated powers that have been given to them in the creation of the federal government. The powers that were not specifically delegated to them remain those of the states. So when we look at the prohibition of marijuana, for example, the federal government has no authority to do that. the 10th Amendment as well as the 18th Amendment. Make that pretty clear, because 18th Amendment, they had everybody agreed, well, we can't prohibit alcohol unless we have a specific power delegated to the federal government to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So 10 and 18, just instead of 420, we need 10-18. Yeah. 10 and 18 say that they don't have any power to do that. But
prohibition
when we talk about borders, it's a completely different thing. We created the federal government to protect the country and to protect our government and to define the immigration rules. And so the central government does have authority in that area, I think.
And let's compare Mexico's immigration laws to the United States. Like I was saying earlier, we take in more than half the world's refugees. But in Mexico, you know, they only accept foreigners with skill. They have to offer something to society. You know?
Most countries
most countries do. Donald Trump wants to do the same thing with the merit program. So we're hopefully going to be doing the same thing. And Mexico also, they keep track of their foreigners. So the Mexican authorities, wherever you go, you have to report to them if you're there, if you're not a citizen. And I thought what was really interesting, if you're not a Mexican citizen, you're not allowed to participate in any political rallies or protests or any demonstrations, and you're certainly not allowed to vote.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And also, if you get caught there illegally and you've been living there for a while, you normally get deported right away, but you can also face hardcore prison time. We're talking 2 years in a workforce detail, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also if you're a Mexican citizen and you help someone remain there illegally, you go to jail too. So much stricter than the insensitive United States.
You know, all these people talk about the Ellis Island experience. I say, well, let's give them the Ellis Island experience. The people who came here through Ellis Island, number one, they did have limits in terms of the number of people who could come through.
Sure.
They had quotas. You had to pass health inspections. And at that time, there was no welfare state. Nobody was coming here for free stuff. They never got any free stuff. So
they
if you want
opportunity.
That's right. You want an Ellis Island experience? Let's give you one. You immigrate into this country and you sign a piece of paper and you don't ever, ever get any welfare from the United States. And your kids don't get it. And you don't get to vote for a certain number of years or whatever. You go to places like Switzerland. You can live there for a very long time, and then you can apply if you've got a lot of references and everybody agrees that you are in agreement with the community. You're not there to change the community.
That's the big key right there. You have to join the team. You have to be pro-American.
That's right.
Hopefully learn to speak the language and learn our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these guys now that they're coming over here, they're immediately going on welfare. They're sponging off the system. They want free food. They want free housing, free college. That's why they're here.
Yeah.
And then what I can't believe and I just don't understand is after all of that, they still hate America.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them. I'm not speaking for everyone, obviously, but a lot of them are still out there, can't stand America. And
the biggest problem with that is the free education that they get. Because free education teaches them to hate America. That's the other part of the problem.
Exactly right.
After we take care of the illegal immigrants, then we need to take care of these universities that are subverting our country.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us. Darren McBreen. I'm David Knight. I'll be right back.
InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. And as I said, and we're talking to Darren in the last several segments, I am very, very, very happy and optimistic now with what President Trump has done. He's made a lot of statements in the last couple of weeks. There's been a lot of pushback by NPR, by Chuck Schumer saying, you don't have flexibility in the defense budget to do this. And it's like, well, if you can't defend America's borders, if you can't put Americans first, then what do we even have a defense department for? And President Trump started saying this, and now he is acting on it. So we're going to wait and see what happens, but it's looking very, very positive right now. And I just got to say, thanks to Ann Coulter, who made this something that everybody was talking about. She took a lot of heat for doing that. I mean, I've been talking about this for several months. I put up some clips going back to the beginning of February, and I have clips talking about that even before then. And as I mentioned, we had Ron Paul talking about the fact, why do we have troops in all these countries fighting wars that we haven't declared, and we can't protect our border from illegal immigrants. And so it's absolutely the right thing to do. It absolutely must be done. As Pat Buchanan said, President Trump's presidency will be judged on three issues. Amnesty and securing the borders, number one. Number two, ending the deindustrialization of America. That's what's going on right now with him fighting back against China. He is not starting a trade war. He is ending a decades-long trade war that has led to the deindustrialization of America. That's what President Trump is doing. And all the press is going to fight him really hard on all of these issues because they've never been on board with this either. As Pat Buchanan said, only Trump said these three issues, and that was what got him elected. And now he is working on all of these. The other one, ending the democracy crusading and extricating us from endless Mideast wars. President Trump came out and said, we got to get out of Syria. We're done. Thanks. Thanks for the help. You know, we stopped ISIS. We flushed them out of their fortified bases in Syria. And now it's time for us to go home. Amen to that. Amen. Really glad to hear that. Got very worried about President Trump when some of the things they started saying and the people that were surrounding him. Personnel are constantly changing there. And so hopefully nothing is going to change with John Bolton coming in. I know he loves to do regime change, but hopefully nothing is going to change with that. As Pat Buchanan said, upon these three issues and how he delivers on these three uniquely Trumpian issues will hang not only his political fate, but history's assessment of whether he was good, great, or a failed president. Absolutely true. And it is absolutely true, folks, that you need to back him up on this because he's going to be getting resistance on all of these key issues. He has from the very beginning. He has throughout the first year plus, 1 year plus of his administration. He's going to be constantly fought on these issues. If he goes wobbly, if he delays, we have to speak up. It's absolutely imperative that people who support him by supporting his agenda, even when it looks like he's not supporting his agenda. And we need to thank him when he does the right thing, and he is doing the right thing right now. I want to play a clip for you real quickly now. This is Jorge Ramos and Tucker Carlson talking about whether or not enforcing the borders is actually racist. Here's that clip.
Can we disagree on this point? Sure. That a country that exterminated its black population, that is run exclusively by white people, that had a caste system based on blood until pretty recently,
that would be Mexico.
Shouldn't be calling us racist. Can we let's take that out of the equation. This is an economic argument about who benefits from migration. It's not really about race.
I don't think so. No, Tucker. Oh. I think we should criticize both countries. If there's discrimination in Mexico, and there's a lot of discrimination, we have to say that. But when we have a president like President Trump, who's made racist statements, who clearly wants to make America white again by bringing...
Make America white again.
He said that he wants to bring immigrants from Norway and not from Haiti and from Africa. Don't you think that's a racist statement?
Literally, 85% of our immigrants are non-white.
I wonder if Jorge has ever complained about La Raza. That means the race. Everything for the race.
Found it. It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Can we disagree on this point?
Sure.
That a country that exterminated its black population, that is run exclusively by white people, that had a caste system based on blood until pretty recently, probably shouldn't be calling us racist. Let's take that out of the equation.
That's Tucker talking about Mexico to Jorge Ramos last night.
It's not really about race.
I don't think so. No, Tucker. Oh. I think we should criticize both countries. If there's discrimination in Mexico, and there's a lot of discrimination, we have to say that. But when we have a president like President Trump, who's made racist statements, who clearly wants to make America white again by
make America white again.
When he said that he wants to bring immigrants from Norway and not from Haiti and from Africa, don't you think that's a racist statement?
We have to criticize that. 85% of our immigrants are non-white. It's not a question of white or non-white. It's a question of whether Mexico gets to use the United States as its welfare system.
That's right.
By the way, there were two black Mexicans just deported from Mexico because they were black to countries they'd never been to. That's what it's like to be African-American in Mexico. Good luck with that. So let's just stop with the race stuff.
There's a lot of racism in Mexico. There's a lot of racism in Mexico, but immigration...
Okay, let's hold it right there. You know, Trump and nobody that supports Trump has ever said, let's make America white again. Nobody has ever said that. But you know what Jorge Ramos's side has said? As a matter of fact, they love this organization called La Raza. What is La Raza? Well, translated, it means the race. Which race? They see themselves as a Hispanic race. Everything for the race. Nothing for anybody else. That's why you see that type of treatment against black people in Mexico. It is a racist regime. And yet they use that. This is the type of projection that we typically see from the left. Whether you're talking about Russians hacking the election, it's Hillary is trying to hack the election with the FBI and the deep state and the press. So she projects it onto the Russians. And these people who see nothing but race. They see nothing but race. And they call everybody else racist. Absolutely amazing. You know, as we're looking at what's happening, many people are saying that during the Easter break, of course, there was a lot of different visuals that happened. We not only had this parade, this caravan that the left was putting out there. Oh, look, you know, we've got a lot of children and they're desperate to get into America. And then saying we have a right to get, we demand that you open the borders. We are every bit as much citizens of the U.S. as you Americans are. And we demand that. And they're talking about how they were training people to answer the questions so that they would be able to get asylum. And President Trump was looking at that, and I'm sure he was also looking at the situation on the Gaza border. We got 30,000 people getting involved with the Israelis there in a fight. And, you know, you can look at this and say, a lot of people said, hey, we better hope that it doesn't come to something like that at the border with the American military. That's exactly what they would like because there was a lot of criticism of Israel. But when you got a crowd of 30,000 people bearing down on you in a riot, I mean, there's going to be some people that are going to get shot and killed. That's just the way that it's going to happen. I'm not excusing the violence. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm not going to second guess it, though, if you've organized a crowd of 30,000 people to crash a border. The bottom line is you have to have the guts to defend your border or you don't have a country. And you can argue where those lines should be drawn, but you have to be able to defend where you have put the line in the sand, or you're not going to have anything at all. And I think as President Trump saw that, as he saw this group, this caravan, 1,000, 1,500 people, that's a lot of people going through there. But you know what? It's not a lot of people, as I said last hour, it's not a lot of people when you compare the number of people who are coming in on a regular basis. You see that crowd right there, if you're watching the broadcast, that crowd that's coming in, 1,000 to 1,500 people, well, guess what? The Border Patrol last year intercepted 310,000 people coming across. That's one of these crowds a day. They're not typically bunched up in a group like that, all coming across at one point. They're typically spread out, onesies and twosies, and you don't see them coming across. As a matter of fact, that's just the number of people that Border Patrol intercepted last year. And as I said, that was down by 25% over the previous year. It was a 46-year low. And so the question is, is this just the eviscerated Border Patrol not catching as many people after Obama has eviscerated them, told them to stand down? Or did it actually drop? We had the Border Patrol chief say, well, the Trump effect is now gone because there's been so much talk about how much we love the Dreamers and the DACA people. We got to do everything for them so that it picked back up again because we haven't been enforcing the borders. But the question is, when we see this as a 46-year low, as a 25% decrease, and yet it is one of these caravans a day crossing the border, just not all massed together in one group for a photo opportunity. And that's just the people that they intercepted. How many people did they not intercept? We know that we got a country that has tens of millions of illegal immigrants in. 11 million is one of the estimates that's being floated around, illegal immigrants. How did they get in? Well, they weren't caught. They weren't caught. So the Border Patrol didn't count those people coming across, but just the people that they count. A caravan a day coming across the border. And so as people are talking about, well, what's Trump going to do with the military that he sends to the border? Well, one organization said this is the Center for Immigration Studies. Jessica Vaughn, who's policy director there, said that the National Guard could be used to build emergency processing centers where federal judges can quickly review the migrants' claims for asylum. No, don't do that. Don't let them into the country. Don't get them into the system that is controlled by these out-of-control federal judges. Don't do that. If we do something like that, we might as well not even send the federal, National Guard down there, because the federal judges are going to completely subvert that system. The system of non-laws that we have, the activist federal judges that we have, once if we're going to go down there and set up emergency processing systems so they can go through, that's not going to work. That is not going to work at all. You have to use the military. They can rapidly put up borders that are going to be temporary and keep people there guarding it until they can get a permanent wall that will not require the people to babysit the border. That's what has to happen. We have to guard the border. Put troops and have them put up temporary borders, whether they do it with trenches or with concertina wire, stuff that people aren't going to want to crawl over, to keep them from setting foot in America and claiming asylum. They don't have a claim on our country. They don't have a claim on American taxpayers to pay for their welfare benefits. They don't have a claim on to take our jobs. They don't have a claim to get free education all the way through college. California, another one of the things California doing, just like New York. Oh, we're going to give free tuition to out-of-state people, says the New York governor. California says we're going to give out-of-state tuition rates to people who are foreign citizens, but not to people who come there from other states inside the union. No, no, no. They will pay the out-of-state tuition rate. Americans will. But foreign citizens coming in, they will get the benefit of as if they were California citizens. And they're going to let them vote. They're going to let them get all kinds of welfare benefits. It's absolutely insane. South Texas Border Patrol agents are overwhelmed by illegal border crossers, says an agent, a report from Breitbart. And they're talking about Bangladesh people coming. See, this is not about keeping out one particular group. This is about saying we have to have some control over the total number of people who are coming into our country. And we have to, I think, exclude them from the welfare system if they come in. So we have to have control over the number of people. We have to know that the people coming in are not criminals. If you can't give us some proof of your identity so that we can validate your background, I'm sorry, you might be a really nice person, but you don't get to come in. If we don't know who you are, if we don't know that you're not a sleeper cell for MS-13 or some other terrorist group, you're not going to get in. You shouldn't be allowed in. If you can prove who you are, and we can see that you're a citizen and you can take care of yourself and you're not coming here for welfare benefits, then fine. Don't have a problem with that. But we have to be able to control the absolute numbers of people who come in, because Americans have dreams too. We have dreams of jobs. We have dreams of homes. And we are going to lose our homes if we have to pay for the education of every child in Central and South America who chooses to come here because their governments don't want to pay for their children's education. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. You know, one of the guys that has been in the media for a very long time, been part of Republican as well as Democrat administrations, Bushes and Clintons and so forth, David Gergen. You might remember years ago, Alex Jones cornered him, asked him some questions about Bohemian Grove. He says, I disrespect you for revealing that. And he goes, well, I disrespect you for what you do there and what you do with the other people. But David Gergen is one of these people who's now working on CNN. After having worked for Nixon, Ford, Reagan, Clinton, all these different people, boy, this guy is an establishment mouthpiece, if ever there was one. And he had this to say about President Trump finally using the military to protect our borders. Here's David Gergen, establishment mouthpiece on President Trump.
The most disturbing part of the news to me today was this notion that he wants to now send troops to the border. you know, it's true that two past presidents have deployed National Guard to the border. Yeah, it was because there were pressing needs. There's no pressing need here. This is more
there's
of a
not.
Political move. And it suggests that the president increasingly sees the military as a play toy that he can make political points with. First, he wants to have this big, massive parade, which most people in the military look at and say, oh, why are we really doing this? And the country's shrugging its shoulders, but he's now got the money. You know, he wanted to take money out of the military budget and pay for the wall. And now he wants to send troops to the border. There's no real reason why we need to send troops to the border other than to make his political point and to satisfy the people who were talking to him from Fox this past weekend saying, your supporters are getting impatient, Mr. President. They want to see action on the wall.
You know, I don't support spending millions of dollars for some kind of a show parade of the military like we see communist dictators doing. But to say that he's using the military as a play toy because it's protecting our borders, we have had all the presidents that he has supported and worked in their administration using the military as a play toy. You have Henry Kissinger saying, yeah, these people, they're nothing but animals. Just use them. Their lives don't mean anything. And they send them off to fight in wars that we don't have any involvement in, wars that, as Smedley Butler said, being used simply as mafia, you know, racket. He said, I fought all these wars for the big corporations in Central and South America. War was nothing but a racket. He said, unless you're defending your home or the Constitution, it's simply a racket. Well, we're defending our home right now. And David Gergen has the audacity to say that President Trump is using it as a play toy. No, he's using it in the way that it was intended to be used for the first time I've seen in my life, and that is to protect American interest. Not corporate interest, not globalist interest like David Gergen did, but American interest. Putting America first, protecting America's borders. And good for President Trump for doing this. I want to play a clip of President Trump talking about what he's going to do with the military to guard our border. Guard our border. That is using the military as a plaything? Yeah, because this military belongs to the globalists. It is a plaything of the empire builders, the regime changers, the destroyers of nations. Yeah, that's the play toy that it's been in the past. Let's start using it for the right purposes to defend America's borders. Here's what President Trump had to say.
And we can't do anything about it because the laws that were created by Democrats are so pathetic and so weak. So I took a go, and I respect what they did. I said, look, your laws are very powerful. Your laws are very strong. We have very bad laws for our border. And we are going to be doing some things. I've been speaking with General Mattis. We're going to be doing things militarily. Until we can have a wall and proper security, we're going to be guarding our border with the military. That's a big step. We really haven't done that before, or certainly not very much before. But we will be doing things with Mexico, and they have to do it. Otherwise, I'm not going to do the NAFTA deal.
Absolutely. President Trump said, we're going to be guarding our borders with the military. That's a big step. We really haven't done that before, or certainly not very much of it before. So then the Guardian takes him on and says, no, you're not the first president to deploy troops to the border. He's the first president to say we're going to defend the border till we get the wall built. And that's what he meant when he said, well, certainly not very much before. The Guardian comes out and says, well, Obama sent 1,200 members of the National Guard to the frontier and to the frontier. I guess you could call it frontier. To the frontier in 2010, following on from George W. Bush's decision 4 years earlier to boost the military presence there. Bush insisted, however, in 2006, he said, the U.S. is not going to militarize the southern border. Mexico is our neighbor. They're our friend. We're going to build bridges, not borders, right? Sounds like Nancy Pelosi. This is where the Republicans have been. This is not what President Trump is talking about, I hope. I certainly don't think it is. I certainly hope that's not what he's talking about. Just putting on a show like George W. Bush did. They go on to say in The Guardian, they built infrastructure like roads and fences. They conducted surveillance on the ground and in the air, but they left it to the Border Patrol to make arrests. What must be done is to keep people from crossing into the United States so that the activist federal judges can make them American citizens and refugees, because they will do that if they get in. It absolutely has to be done. They have to be prevented from entering the country. Set up temporary obstacles, physical obstacles, have troops on the other side saying, better not do that, better not do that. Have them have non-lethal things to do. It's like, don't try to climb over that concertina wire. That's going to hurt, especially when I tase you and you fall into the midst of it. President Trump went on to say, we are preparing for the military to secure our border between Mexico and the United States. We have a meeting on it in a little while with General Mattis and everybody, and I think that it's something we have to do. He is absolutely right. Absolutely right. Very excited to see this happening. We have a transition policy advisor, Ken Blackwell, go on the Fox Business Network and say sending troops would show a coherent Trump policy of treating illegal immigration as a national security and homeland security issue. Absolutely right. And what is going to be necessary for President Trump to do? There's one more thing that he has to do that he hasn't even been talking about. And I've been talking about this as long as I've been talking about using the military to defend the borders, using the military budget to build the wall, and having the troops there guard the borders until they build the wall. Now, President Trump has talked about all those things. One of the things he has not talked about yet is this whole issue about the federal activist judges who have stepped in where they do not have authority or power and shut down the policies of the president. When we look at these judges in New York and California who have said, you cannot use the federal government to vet the people coming into this country, that is, they have absolutely no authority to do that. Jeff Sessions should not be engaging them in that whatsoever. President Trump should act like Andrew Jackson and say, these courts have made their decisions, let's see them enforce it. They don't have the power. They don't have anybody that can enforce any of this power. As I point out every day, Alexander Hamilton said they're the least dangerous branch of government because they don't have any power to enforce this. And that's what all the founders believed. And that's what Andrew Jackson said. He said, they've made their decision. Let's see them enforce it. President Trump should say to these federal activist judges who say they're going to shut him down on everything, and Chuck Schumer has said, we'll shut him down with the federal judges. He should say to them, well, you've made your decision. Let's see you enforce it. There was never a DREAM Act. There was never a DACA Act. They say it was a program. It's not a program. It was a memo that was created by Homeland Security. He said, we're not going to enforce the laws. We're not going to enforce the existing laws or borders. And President Trump's Homeland Security has been doing the same thing, not enforcing the laws or the borders. Now he's going to enforce the borders, and they need to enforce the laws. Send these people home. They don't even have to thank us for the free education. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the great state of Texas, worldwide, it's David Knight.
We're scared, just like you, said the head coordinator of the caravan. She got on a megaphone yesterday. This is reported by the Washington Post. And listen to what she told the people. So we're scared, just like you. We now have President Donald Trump saying that he wants to hit us with nuclear bombs. This was reported by the Washington Post, by Jeff Bezos' political blog, reported that this woman says that Trump says he wants to hit us with nuclear bombs on a megaphone. They have, of course, an embedded reporter with them because, you know, that's what the left does. But they never pushed back and corrected this and said, no, what President Trump said is he was calling on Republican leaders to use the nuclear option. That was not to drop bombs on these people, nuclear bombs at the border. That was not what this is how the left gets itself worked up, isn't it? Oh, he's racist. He wants to make America white again. He wants to nuke the caravan. The nuclear option, by the way, for all of you Washington Post readers, if you're scratching your heads trying to figure out where this is coming from, the nuclear option, of course, is to say that you're going to simply have it's the constitutional option for the Senate. In other words, 51 votes out of 100, and you win. Instead of saying, well, we're going to have this gentleman's agreement that we're going to have 60 votes. Where'd that come from? At some point, the Senate came up with new dueling rules. and said, oh, we're going to have to win, not with 51, but with 60. Where'd that come from? Who cares? Why do we even need that for anything? 51 and you win. And look, the reason that they do that is because they want to play games. Rand Paul came out and said, they don't ever have a vote on anything that they don't already know what the outcome is going to be. It's a rigged game. If they know that they're going to lose, they don't, on something that people want to have a vote on, they'll make sure that that bill doesn't get there. Sometimes they'll bring bills up just for a show, saying, you know, look, we tried. We brought this up. We did everything we could as Republicans to get this passed for you guys, you know, our masters and everything. But, you know, we didn't have enough votes. We didn't have the 60 votes to get this passed. Even though we have a majority, we just can't get it done. You know, they don't want it done. They want to be able to offer things to both sides, and that gives them plausible deniability. And so what President Trump is saying, you got 51 votes, you got 51 Republicans, use your Republican majority to get this done. That's called the nuclear option. And then it gets picked up by these people saying he wants to drop nuclear bombs on us. And the Washington Post doesn't reply to that. But then there was a lot of crazy stuff that these people were saying. They said the idea was never for this group of people to reach the border. It was more to achieve a sensible and clear solution. We wanted to draw attention. Well, that's what they did. They drew attention, didn't they? But it was their intention to get to the border. It was their intention to educate the people on how they could game the system and get into the country illegally. They were bragging about that on the way as they were talking to the liberal reporters. Unfortunately for them, because of social media, it got out of the little echo chamber of BuzzFeed, and other people noticed it. Then it got reported by Fox News, and President Trump noticed it. And now we have Mexico supposedly vetting and dispersing these Central American migrants in their caravan after President Trump threatened them over NAFTA. Said, you're going to do this as an act of war? Well, you know what? That's really going to make it tough for you to get anything that you want out of NAFTA. And finally, we have the Department of Justice saying that of these border crossers, 88% have a chance of evading deportation by simply claiming that they have a credible fear. A credible fear. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of being deported. Let me stay. See, this is why they must not be allowed to enter. Maybe somebody will fix the laws. But until they fix the laws, President Trump can patrol the border with the military. He can, he must, he has the power, the delegated power, he has the duty, he has the campaign promises, and it looks like he's going to do it. I'm happy to see that. Now he just needs to stand down not only the caravans that are coming over at the rate of one per day, that's just the ones that they know about, but he needs to stand down the activist federal judges as well. All right, let's take a look at this YouTube shooting. I haven't really talked about this. I mentioned it earlier. One dead, four injured. At least three people were wounded by this crazy vegan activist. One of them is in critical condition. Two women are in serious and fair condition, all in pretty much in their, well, 27, 32, and a 36-year-old man in critical condition. This woman ran a number of YouTube channels, had a website. She posted videos on a wide variety of subjects. She was not, folks, a white American male. She was not a conservative. She was not a Trump supporter, apparently, from what we can see. Nevertheless, guns and the NRA are getting blamed by some Hollywood shills. She had her big passion, apparently, was animal cruelty. And her channels have now been deleted by YouTube. And let me say, and I said this yesterday, some people say, oh, boy, you certainly have your priorities straight. I said, after a shooting at YouTube headquarters, you can bet that all gun videos talking about the operation, the safe use of gun videos, they're all going to disappear from YouTube. They've already started the purge quite some time ago, but this will be the impetus for these people at YouTube to make them, wish them all into the cornfield, essentially. And they will still have all the Hollywood videos up, of course, that fetishize violence and inappropriate gun use. Oh, yeah, you want to go out there and show people's throats being slit, or show them being shot in slow motion with blood spurting out with Hollywood squibs. That'll be fine. That'll be fine. But don't show anybody how to safely use a video, a gun, rather. Don't have any videos like that. They'll all be gone from YouTube. They'll use that as an excuse to shut down what they were already doing, what they already wanted to do. She was a vegan bodybuilder. She was an artist. She was a rapper. She posted a video in January 2017 where she complained that YouTube was filtering her content, and leading to fewer views and causing her income to drop. And she got increasingly angry about that. And then this vegan activist who values animal lives, but not human lives, apparently. She had a long history of animal rights activism. She was quoted by the L.A. Times. Oh, so maybe the L.A. Times supported this woman, so we should shut down the L.A. Times. I'm not advocating that, but that's the way the left would operate. If we had had her on any of our news outlets here or had interviewed her for our website, InfoWars, you can bet that they would have been tarring and feathering us and suing us and saying we had to be shut down. But the LA Times can do an article where they quote her because of her animal rights activism, and they're fine because they're just doing news. And I'm not calling for them to be shut. I don't think there's anything wrong with them doing an article on her. It was a perfectly legitimate thing. But I'm just saying that they would turn this around and use it on anybody that was on the conservative side, especially if they were independent media. They would try to shut down any organization that had any media contact with her whatsoever or shared any political views with her whatsoever. And she shares none with us, for the record. So she was quoted by the LA Times at a protest of the U.S. Marine Corps' use of pigs to demonstrate battlefield wounds in 2009. But she doesn't have a problem shooting people. She has a bumper sticker, says meat is murder, but she doesn't have a problem shooting people. She shot three people, killed herself. And then you have RT quoting some people saying that U.S. gun violence is so common that this YouTube headquarters incident doesn't even qualify as a mass shooting. They quoted a police officer, a retired FBI agent. And she said, this one doesn't qualify as a mass shooting because in order to qualify as a mass shooting, you have to kill four people or more. If a shooting like this had occurred in a place other than YouTube, it might not even have made national news. They're so common. Well, it's kind of like mainstream media ignoring the soaring murder rates in London, most of the murders were done with knives, but not all of them. Just this last weekend, we had two separate shooting incidents in London, as I reported yesterday. A 17-year-old girl was killed. A 16-year-old boy is in critical condition. But that's not making news with Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan isn't calling for guns to disappear from England. Piers Morgan is calling for guns to disappear from the United States. Maybe gun violence is common everywhere. We'll be right back. David Knight, this is our final segment of the show. Before we get back into what Piers Morgan, the words of wisdom from Piers Morgan and Nancy Pelosi about the YouTube shooting yesterday. And it's interesting because one of the witnesses there said, I didn't have a gun on me, but I sure wish that I did. Ooh, YouTube doesn't want that going out. I'm going to play that for you in just a second here. Before we get back to the news, I want to remind you of the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what funds this program, and we have some massive discounts right now, some specials at InfoWarsStore.com I want to tell you about. And of course, these aren't the only things. We have thousands. I don't know if we have 1,000 products out there. We have so many, I couldn't go through the list, but we have a lot of different products out there. But these are some of our most popular products now on sale. BrainForce Plus, one of our most popular products, in a combo with a real red pill, one of our newer products, 50% off with the two of those. And I got to tell you, BrainForce Plus is my favorite supplement. Like I've said many times, I'm very careful to take a regular regimen of vitamins and minerals and things like that that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. And I have seen the difference in my life in terms of not getting sick with colds and other things that other people in my family pick up who have been in the past healthier than I have been, but haven't been taking these supplements. But when it comes to something like BrainForce Plus, I can feel that immediately. It really does concentrate my mind. And so we have BrainForce Plus as well as a real red pill in a combo package, 50% off. We have our new product, Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle. And again, it has nano silver in it, which helps to fight bacteria as well as viruses. You can use it as oral use, use it to spray in your mouth to freshen your breath, or you can use it on your hands to kill bacteria and virus. We also have Myco ZX Plus at 50% off and Alexa Pure Breeze, our revolutionary air filter. You can get that at $50 off at InfoWarsStore.com. Big savings on that air filter. And again, that's one of the products that we use in our household, and we really like that. Thank you for supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. That keeps us independent, and it keeps our information free because of the products that you buy there to support your health and your family's health, to prepare for emergencies and things like that at InfoWarsStore.com. So we really do appreciate your support. As we were going to break, I was talking about this quote from a retired FBI agent saying, yeah, U.S. gun violence is so common, this wouldn't really even be newsworthy if it hadn't been YouTube headquarters. Well, you could say that about a lot of things. Take a look at what we just saw the last, you know, if somebody has a car and they run over a celebrity, people get run over all the time, or people die in car accidents all the time. But if it's a celebrity, it's newsworthy. Even if it's a fender bender, it's newsworthy. Especially if the celebrity's got something like a hypercar that costs $1 million or something. It's, oh, look, you know, such and such a celebrity just trashed their car or whatever. If you've got Uber running over a pedestrian, I mean, that happens all the time. Pedestrians getting run over, people dying in car accidents. But if an Uber does it, when it's an auto driving mode, or if a Tesla does it, yeah, there's the video right there running over that lady. When an autonomous robotic car that we're told, these things are never going to make any mistakes because, you know, you wetware out there, you humans, you're making mistakes all the time, but our software and our hardware is never going to do that. We're going to have it perfect, even though it's designed by humans. Well, it becomes a national news story, just like when Tesla kills somebody with their car. It becomes a national news story. So, you know, automobile accidents are not a big deal unless a celebrity is involved, or unless some kind of new technology that is being shoved down our throats is involved, and then it becomes a story. So, yeah, because it was at YouTube, it became a story. But like I pointed out, interesting to me that it wasn't a story that anybody's really cared about picking up out of London, when we had, in two separate incidents over the weekend, a 17-year-old girl killed who was doing nothing. It was a drive-by shooting, just like in another gun-free zone, Chicago. And as I said yesterday, Chicago always says, well, it's not our fault. They're buying the guns in Indiana. So maybe that's what's happening in London. Maybe the people getting the guns in Indiana and taking them there to drive-by shootings in London. That's human nature. London has overtaken New York in terms of murder rates. And it's mostly knives. And folks, knives don't kill people. People kill people. It isn't the tool. It's the person. But they don't report that. There's been more reporting about the murder rate going up in London, but nobody talks about the shootings. I didn't think that was supposed to happen after you made it a gun-free zone. Piers Morgan is lecturing us about that. Still, he tweets out, I think all semi-automatic guns should be banned. Well, you know what? We don't care what you think, Piers. That's why you're not on television anymore in America. Nobody cares. You came here and you lectured us about something you have absolutely no idea what it's about, telling us that we needed to have our freedoms taken away, kind of like your ancestors did at the beginning of this country. They came in and said, we're going to take away your freedom and we're going to take away your guns. And we said, no, you're not. No, you're not. And we sent them packing, just like we sent Piers Morgan packing. He said, no civilian needs one. No, you're wrong on that as well. You're wrong on that as well. And then finally, at first, YouTube put a gag order on people, but then we got this gentleman who witnessed the shooting at YouTube. I'm not sure if he's an employee or not, but he witnessed the shooting, and this is what he had to say.
What's going through your mind with, I mean, people dropping, being shot multiple times, bullets whizzing, people bleeding? What's going through your mind?
Well, Leslie was on my mind, but at the same time, I knew, you know, I had to be smart. You know, and you got to be smart. You got to be fast. You got to think fast, be smart. I didn't have a gun on me, but wish I did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I hear that a lot from people who are in shootings. Heard it from people in Las Vegas. I heard it from at every one of these shootings. You'll find at least one person who realizes, I'm here. I don't have any way to defend myself. Even the hero at Parkland High, Stoneman Douglas High School, the hero coach who tried to disarm the individual who interposed himself between the shooter and the students. And he didn't have a gun. And he was a big guy. Yeah, when you get to a gunfight, you want a gunfight. That equalizes things, even if you are a smaller person. But if you're not a, you know, even with this coach who is much larger than the shooter, the gun determined the outcome. You don't want to go barehanded to a gunfight. And if you are a woman, that is especially true. You want something that's going to equalize your chances. Your chances give you a fighting chance by having a gun. Meanwhile, we got Michael Ian Black, an actor, comedian that I have never heard of until he came out of the woodwork. Maybe that's his plan, was to come out of the woodwork and say that the NRA has blood-soaked lackeys, and he wants to politicize the F out of all this, and he wants you to do it too. He is in some program or film or something called Hot American Summer. It sounds like some made-for-video or cable television sexploitation film. Who knows? Probably is. He says, I don't know who the shooter is, and it doesn't matter if they're an NRA member. Well, what if it was a crazy radical vegan who gets angry when people shoot animals, but, you know, she shoots people? Somebody that's more like you than you imagine, Michael Ian Black, probably. And as they point out on Breitbart, well, you know, it's not easy access, as he likes to say. He says, they just have easy access to this. The NRA is a terrorist organization, and there's easy access to firearms. And Breitbart points out, well, no, there isn't. They said, in California, for example, you have to acquire a gun safety certificate from the state before being allowed to purchase a gun to keep in their home. Once they have the certificate, they must go through a gun store, choose a gun, pass a background check, and then they have to wait 10 days before they're allowed to take the gun home. Then they also have to register the gun with the state of California. And then if they're going to carry the gun for self-defense, they have to convince their county sheriff, because they turn it in from a right into a privilege, they have to convince their county sheriff that they have a good reason to do that, which is part of the process of going through yet another background check to acquire a concealed carry permit. California also has an assault weapons ban and ammunition controls. So there you go. Nancy Pelosi calls for gun control again after the active shooter. She says, my staff and I are closely following developments from the active shooter situation, blah, 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 end gun violence. And I say, maybe we should have a hashtag, end vegan violence. These people are absolutely crazy. We have Kurt Eichenwald, MSNBC contributor sometimes, and has caused them to get a boycott, which I don't agree with. I don't agree with even boycotting crazy people like Kurt Eichenwald or MSNBC who would put him on. He claimed to be a contributing editor at Vanity Fair. Now they are distancing themselves away from him after he has gone after Kyle Kashuv, absolutely made a career out of attacking this guy. And why is he still on Twitter? Because he is bullying this guy. He accused this student who was at the Parkland shooting, who is a conservative, who is not calling for gun control like David Hogg, who, by the way, as I pointed out earlier in the program, has now become the world's biggest gun salesman. Congratulations, David. We should give you a participation trophy. You have exceeded even President Obama in terms of selling guns. But Eichenwald has accused Kashuv of, quote, working to trick journalists, coordinating with trolls. Oh, I thought that was David Hogg. But, of course, he's not being shut down. Even getting so paranoid as, say, people are sending him gifts that are trying to trigger epileptic seizures. This guy is a crazy conspiracy theorist. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us.